Stand with me. Turn your Bible to the book of Luke. And let's go straight into the Word of God. How many of you want to hear the Word of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Got enough out there to keep me preaching.
Amen.
Thank God. Hallelujah. What a sovereign moment in time that we have, folks. Times like this are few. But now we have an opportunity to redeem the time. Our days are short. But I tell you, child of God, it won't be long. We'll be coming into the presence of Jesus. And I want to tell you something. No matter what you're going through today, it's not going to be long. It's going to be worth it all. I said it will be worth it all. Luke chapter 2, verse number 39 says, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, they returned, and the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at this understanding, at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.' And he said unto them, 'How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business?' And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them." I'm going to preach for just a few minutes this morning under this thought, a move of God. A move of God. Help me pray. Father, thank you again. We're grateful. God, we can't say it enough how thankful we are to know you and to be in your presence with your people. We thank you for this moment that you have invited us into your presence and into your house. And we are honored to be in the place that you have made for us to come. And Lord, we ask you now that you would anoint the ear to hear. I pray that the word would have free course in this house, that it would be sent and accomplish what it has sent for. God, and I ask you to anoint this preaching. And this preacher, I pray, help me. God, convey the truth of your message. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto us in this house this day. And we'll be careful to give you honor and glory and praise for it, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. And the church said amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about a move of God for a couple minutes this morning. I believe that much of the church has lost what I call the shock and the awe of God. The shock and the awe of God. Many have simply just lost sight of the greatness of the Lord, and they are just not wowed by Him any longer. It's just very hard. I go a lot of places, and I don't know what it is, but there seems to be a yoke upon a lot of people. And it's not what you would think a lot of times as far as a yoke of worldly allurements and the things and the pleasures of sin that are drawing people, and the things of the world and the spirit of the world drawing people out. But it seems to be more, although that is the case in some, it seems to be more of just this yoke of spiritual apathy. And I want to deal just for a few moments what I believe may be the cause of that. Because none of us began in this way. There's not a one. You won't find any of these that are freshly come to Jesus, baptized and filled with the Spirit. You won't find. They're on the front row this morning. They're worshiping this morning. You don't have to beg somebody to lift up their hands. But I want to tell you something. Jesus wants us to all have that kind of amazement. You know, it's just hard to give it, even get a person to lift their hands and worship God. I mean, just have to beg, pry it out of them, just to pray, just to magnify the Lord. Just lift up your hands in the worship of God and magnify His name. Because at some point, they've lost sight of how great He really is. They don't have that wow factor about God anymore. How they're just so amazed by His goodness that they just can't help but worship, just can't help but to lift up holy hands unto God. But I want to tell you something. Nobody began this way. In the new birth, there is always a great excitement. There's always great emotion, and there's always great passion in that one that's newly born again. That's just the way it is in its infant condition. We're greatly moved of God, and we're highly interested, and deeply interested in spiritual matters. You don't have to beg them to revival. You don't have to beg them to church. Not to beg them to pray. Not to beg to worship. It's just there. The desire's there. The passion's there. The hunger is there. I want us to look this morning for a few minutes about how the Holy Ghost lays this out for us. You know, we talk about a move of God in this land. We talk about how we desire a move of God. Well, we just need God to move. I've said it a lot of times. You probably said it too. What we need is God to move. Well, one day I was telling Kayla that one morning I was in revival, and I said, we just need God to move. And then I hung up the phone because I was in the car out there praying and studying while they were in the hotel. And I hung up the phone, and instantly the Lord began to speak to my heart. And He said to me, you say that like I'm reluctant to do it. I said, He said, you say that like I'm reluctant to do it. He said, the problem is not that I won't move. The problem is I moved and you and my people didn't move with me. Say amen, somebody. I said, the problem is not that God hasn't moved or won't move. The issue is God is moving and has moved, and the reason why we're apathetic toward Him and things are dead, if they are dead, is because when God moved, we didn't move with God. And if you was here last night, you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to beg Him to move. He's always moved. The Holy Ghost moved upon the face of the deep. That's the first time that we ever see Him in the Word of God. He's always moving. He's always going. That's why Jesus said to follow me. But the issue's not if we can get God to move. The issue is, will we move with God? Because it is His desire to move. Say amen, somebody. When we look at this text, we'll see how the Holy Ghost would lay out at the book of Luke this way of God. In the beginning, we know in chapters 1 and 2, we see the most detailed description concerning the birth of Jesus. We find that there's an announcement by an angel named Gabriel to Mary. And we find out that Mary miraculously conceived of the Holy Ghost a child in her womb. We know that Mary had visited Elizabeth, and when she did, even though they were both pregnant, that Elizabeth's womb leaped on the inside of her. She said, something's leaped, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something. There is miraculous things taking place. There is supernatural power. There is great excitement in the heart of Mary, in the heart of Elizabeth, in the heart of Joseph, in the heart of all those that were around. There was supernatural working of God. There was excitement and passion and anticipation for what the Lord was going to do. And then Jesus is born. And you find the announcement of the angels. And you find the visitation of shepherds coming from afar. You find wise men coming and bringing gifts to the Lord. You have a prophecy fulfilled of a man named Simeon. And the promise of God came to him, as well as a woman named Anna. What I'm saying to you tonight, this morning, is there was supernatural power. There was supernatural manifestation. There was excitement and emotion and passion and anticipation. Why? It's because of the new birth of the Savior. It was because of the miracle. God had come to His people. And when Mary had performed all things, I want to tell you something. It said that she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. He's done
great things. But the Bible moves on from there and begins to lay out the progression of the spiritual walk. And it said then, after she had performed all things according to the law, they returned to Galilee. Verse 40 said, and the child grew. Are you hearing me? I said, and the child grew from the excitement of the new birth, from the supernatural working of God. Now progression begins to take place, and the child grew. Can I tell you that this is the process of your life? When you're born of God, Jesus comes into you, but it's like in an infant condition. That's why he said, the apostle said, to desire pure spiritual milk. Why? A baby can't eat meat. A baby has to eat, drink milk until the stomach and the body can digest and withstand that solid food. Just like us, when we first Jesus comes to live in us, we have to desire pure spiritual milk. But we're always not going to be on a bottle. Just like that baby won't always be on one, because the child's going to grow. And when Jesus comes into you, the process of spiritual life is to grow in grace and the knowledge of God until we all grow up into the head, which is Christ. There is a process that will happen. You will grow in Jesus. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Jeremy? I know you're listening. I want to tell you something. What I'm saying is, you can't always live in the supernatural experience of that new birth forever. I said you can't always live in the supernatural. You can't all in that supernatural experience of the new birth. You can't always live in that emotion, anticipation, and excitement of that new birth. Why? Because you have to grow. There's things that that parents put up with when their kids are little, but they won't put up with it forever. Are you hearing me, somebody? There has to be a growth in that life, and it is the same for us in the spiritual man. There has to be a development of that man. That's the will of God. I love my son when he's a baby. I love where he is now. But I know God didn't bring him on earth to be a child. His thought for him in fullness is for him to be a grown man. And that is a design of God for us. It's not for Jesus to remain an infant inside. It's for him to grow and develop until we grow up into the full measure and stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the design of God. You can't always try to walk in that newness of that new birth. No, it won't be the same. Why? Because God's going to have to move you from there. You know, it was such a wonderful time. Greatest time in my life. I remember how wonderful that new birth was. I was born into a new life. I was a new human. I was alive to things I had never been alive for to in my life. God answered prayer instantly. The second I prayed it, like the beach ball, like the fish. He's always, just the second you ask, here it comes. Here's the answer. But there come a time where that excitement began to fade and that emotion began to fade. And I went through a hard time where God began to teach me that he wasn't just a feeling and he wasn't just an emotion. He was teaching me to walk by faith. He was teaching me this isn't a life of feeling. This isn't just a life of emotion. This is a life of faith. And if I don't learn to walk in faith, I'll never mature in God. You know, I know I'm from the South, and Pentecost is a more of a rich thing down there. There's 1,000 brands of it, I know. But I want to tell you something. One thing about people, I know there's probably some like that here, but I'll tell you what, I know some people that if they don't feel something, they won't do anything. If they don't feel, they won't pray. If they don't feel, they won't lift their hands. If they don't feel a doodad or a goosebump or butterflies in their stomach, they won't do anything. But folks, we've got to learn this is a walk of faith. You have to will yourself to do the will of God. You won't always feel like prayer. You won't always feel like getting the flesh to the house. But that spirit man does. And that flesh has to die and walk in the Spirit of God. Lift your hands and worship in faith. Know that God is going to respond to that. And I promise you, it won't be long till that feeling and that emotion will catch up ultimately to your faith and your walking with God. But you can't always live in that emotion of the new birth. You have to mature in God. You have to grow.
That's right.
Amen.
But I tell you this, that doesn't mean that you have to lose your passion. And that doesn't mean you have to lose your excitement. And that doesn't mean you don't have to have you don't have your anticipation for God. No, you still have that. But it just ain't the same as it was in the beginning. Are you hearing me this morning? I said it ain't always the same. The reason why that some people have grown apathetic toward God and they've lost the shock and the awe of God and they've lost sight of His greatness and they can't even hardly worship the Lord without being begged to do it. There's no anticipation. There's no desire to reach the lost. There's no desire for revival. There's no desire for worship. There's no desire to give any more than what you have right now. And the reason for that condition, because if there's not a progression in your spiritual life, then you are going to die spiritually. And I believe, though through time, through the experience, some have made this out to be nothing more than a form and a ritual and a tradition. What used to be life and experience has now become a form. It's now become a ritual. Oh, it might be a right ritual, but Jesus said to the church there at Ephesus, He said, you lost your first love. You have everything I desire for a church to have, but I've got something against you. You don't do anything out of love.
Wow.
You hold fast to doctrine. You don't allow any kind of heresy in. You give, you serve, but you lost something. You lost me. Too many have allowed this to become a form and a ritual because they never progressed with God. From the new birth, they never moved on. The child grew, but they didn't go with him. He said the way he waxed strong in spirit, he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. It said now when his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Let me say this. A move of God that we're asking Him for means what? It means that God is moving. I said a move of God means that God is moving. And the movements of God are never in the alignment with us. He always operates in the Father's will. I do nothing I don't hear my Father tell me to do. I don't say anything He don't tell me to say. The movements of Christ are in accordance with the Father's will, not with us. He's about His Father's business and not about our business. But if we line ourselves up with Him and keep our eyes on Him, we are going to move into the depth of the Father's will and the Father's plan. Notice this. They went to Jerusalem every year as of the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12, it said that they went there after the custom of the feast. And they fulfilled their days. You see, they went every year. They were very familiar with the passage. They were very familiar with the feast of Passover. And there was great preparation to go there. They were going to go, and with everything in them, they were going to appreciate what God had done. They were going to go, and they would sacrifice, and they would worship, and they would thank the Lord for the Passover lamb, and they would glorify God. And with all the ability that they had, they would thank Him and be grateful. Don't you know they did? With their heart, they sought to be grateful for what God had done. But the problem was that it just became something of a custom, I believe. Hear the Holy Ghost tonight. Here, this morning, it was a customary for them to go. They went every year. And although they were appreciative of what God done, there come a time where Jesus is about to take them into a greater revelation. He's about to take them into a greater maturity and a greater revealing of Himself to them. But because they were caught in the custom of the feast, and because they were so familiar with the way, and because when they went there, they simply fulfilled the days, when they went back as they always did, something wasn't the same now. The child tarried behind. Jesus was about to move in a different direction that they were accustomed to moving in, and they lost sight of him. Hear me this morning, church. How many of us, we come today, we come every Sunday because it is our custom to come. We come because we want to show God that we are thankful, and we might lift a hand in worship. We'll give and we'll pray because it is our custom to do it, because we're born again believers. But do you ever think that sometime in the midst of our custom, in the midst of our familiarity with the church and with coming here time and time again, that possibly we're just simply coming and only fulfilling our day and fulfilling our obligation, and we leave out of here as we always had, not recognizing the significance of the moment, that we're not in tune with the Spirit of God, so we leave the house and not realize that the child has tarried. There was a work of God to be done that we missed because we lost sight. We lost sensitivity of the one we are to be following and worshiping. We lost sight of the Passover lamb. And then we just go about our day. We miss out on the fact that God wanted to really do something deeper in us. As the pastor said, we don't recognize the significance of the moment. Why? Well, it's just another baptism. It's just another person saved. It's just another person filled. It's customary. It's familiar. We fulfilled our time here. And we don't recognize that the child has tarried behind. And they take to get a day's journey down the road before they even recognize that it happened. It said the child tarried, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. I'm telling you, you probably wouldn't have thought they was very good parents, would you? They got a 12-year-old boy. I mean, for heaven's sakes, folks, this is just the Messiah. They knew that. They knew this. They knew who this was. They knew it was Jesus. They knew he was the Savior. They had the knowledge of that. You'd think you'd be handled a little more cautiously the one that's come to save us all. You'd think you'd at least know where he was, even when he's 12 years old. But because of the familiar environment, they just thought he would always be where he always was. Are you hearing me this morning, folks? I said they thought he'd always be where he always was. They lost sight and they lost sensitivity to the presence of the one that come to save them. How many times do we do the same thing? How many times do we lose the sensitivity to the Holy Ghost? How many times do we lose sight of Jesus? We just go through our form. We go through our custom, and we never recognize he intends to take us beyond where we've ever been before. It's more than an ordinary moment in time. It's an extraordinary moment, and we must see where he's trying to take us to.
That's right.
How many of those times are missed? Because we just fulfill our days. We're a part of our custom. Well, I've done my duty. Pastor won't be calling me this afternoon because I was there this morning. I know he won't call me. But I'll tell you what, folks, we can miss out on the depth and the reality of coming to know Jesus. But he wants to restore, pull you out of your familiarity with him. Some people just got too familiar with Jesus. Some of us have just got too familiar with the custom. Some of us have got too familiar with the leadership. Some of us have got too familiar with the presence. Some of us have got too familiar with the song. Some of us have got too familiar with the form. And because of our familiarity, we just carry on in it, because it's like it always was when Jesus was leading us. But what we don't recognize is we're carrying on in the pattern he always worked in, and we fail to recognize he tarried behind. What are you saying? I said God moved, but God moved in a different direction, and we wasn't able to recognize it.
Yeah.
Because we just thought it'd always be this old customary way. But Jesus had something better. He wanted to bring his familiar family
to bring them to a greater. He knew they lost that experience of the new birth. He knew they didn't see Him like they used to see Him in that beginning. And because He knew they wasn't seeing Him anymore, He had to bring them back to a place where they were wowed again. He had to bring them back. So what did He do? He provided circumstances. And the love of God will always provide circumstance to those that belong to Him to get you back where you're amazed again, to get you back where you're wowed again, to get you back where you're seeing Him again, and where you're growing in the Father's will and moving in the depth of His purpose. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He recognized their familiarity, so now He is going to move. But if we ain't watching, we won't realize that He did. And when they finally realize, wait, He's not in the company anymore, He's not here anymore, oh, then they begin to seek in the familiar places where He had been at times past. They looked among the acquaintance. They looked among the kinsfolk. Well, every time we know He isn't here, I know He's always in this. I know if I ever get out here and I know Jesus isn't there, well, I'll just go back. Well, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to sing the songs that God moved in revival last year, and then He'll be there. We need to preach the sermon that He moved in last time, and we know that He'll be there. I need to go back to my 5-minute devotional where God used to move, and then I'll get in there. He'll move again. No, He's trying to grow us up. He's trying to mature us. He isn't in the place where He used to be. We're not trying to recreate something of yesteryear. We're not going back to the family, the familiar, and the acquaintance and the kinsfolk. No, He's not in that no more. He's moved on beyond that. He's moved into something greater. He's moved into something deeper. And if we'll follow Him, He'll take us there. And sometime He has to provide circumstances for us to get us back to the place that He's designed us to be. Say amen. If you believe that, in the house of God, they didn't know. And then what happened? When they found Him not, they turned again to Jerusalem seeking Him. Now they're back in the place God intended to be. They've lost now. They know He's not there. That familiar things began to be broken in them. And now they begin to seek Him again. They begin to recognize that there's something amiss in their life. They begin to recognize that the joy that once filled their heart wasn't there. That the peace that filled their heart no longer is there. That the worship that filled their heart is no longer there. That the faithfulness they had to God and to prayer and to His house is no longer there. It's not here anymore. I don't love Him like I used to love Him. I don't worship Him like I used to worship. I don't give like I used to give. And thank God they recognized it and they got back in the place of seeking Him. Somebody needs to hear this preacher this morning. You need to get back into the place of seeking the Lord. You need to admit that you're cold. You need to admit that you're indifferent. You need to admit that it isn't what it used to be for you. And you need to come back seeking the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to come back seeking the Lord. This don't need to be a warm body, warm in a pew, a cold pew. You need to come back to seeking Him. That's where God wants you to be. That's where God's trying to get us. And He'll provide circumstances to get us there. He wants us to seek Him. You know what I found out, brother and sister? That most true seeking is born out of desperation. I said it's born out of desperation. And see, there's only two things that the prodigal son and the woman with the issue of blood had in common. One element they had in common, and that was this. They both had spent all. I said they both had spent all. And after spending all, it brought them back to Christ. It brought the prodigal out of the hog pen. He had spent all that he had. Daddy never went looking for him. Daddy never bailed him out of jail. Daddy never helped him out of his trouble. No, he put him in the hand of God and he let him come to the end of himself. He let him come to himself. The prodigal had spent all before he returned back to the Father's house. And the woman with the issue of blood had tried everything for
12 years suffered, rather grew worse. She tried every doctor, every physician, but got worse and worse. And when she had spent all, she said she heard of Jesus come through the press behind. I've got to touch him. No matter what it costs me, I'm going to press through every hindrance. I'm going to touch him. I've spent all looking another way. I've got to touch Jesus again. I've got to have his virtue flow in my life. I found out that true seeking is often born out of desperation. Seeking him. They were heading back, but they were getting back into the will of God. They were moving deeper into the Father's will and plan. They may not have knew it yet, but that's where they were going. And it was all the plan of Jesus to get them there. He loved them. Just like he loves you. Just like he wants you in the depth and of his fullness of his love and his power. He wants you there too. He don't want you on the friend of cold indifferent religion. He doesn't want to see you. It breaks his heart to see you in your ritual and your formality. It hurts him to know you love the world more than you love him. It hurts him to know that you're unwilling to give up things and pleasures of this life because he can replace that with his love and power and fill you with the reality of his goodness. It hurts him to know that you love pleasure more than you love God. It hurts him to know that you're ritualistic and you're formalistic and you have no desire for him anymore. And Jesus wants to set you up to get you back where he designed for you to be. And it said as they went back seeking him, it says it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were what? They were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Let me tell you something. Jesus will always have a crowd who's astonished. I said he'll always have a crowd who's amazed. You may have forgot him. You may have lost sight. You may have become a form of religion, but he'll always find a crowd who will be astonished, brother. You hear the word of God tonight, church, this morning, church, and no, pastor, you'll always have a hungry people. I said you'll always have a hungry people in here. It may just be a few, but you'll always have somebody who's astonished with Jesus. You'll always have somebody that loves him. He'll always have a crowd of people who will be amazed by his goodness. He'll attract that kind of a people. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, if I was a shouter, I'd shout right there. Whew. Amen. I done preached myself happy up here. Hallelujah. Lord, let me be a part of that crowd. My God, folks. I said he'll always have a crowd, Brother Aaron. He'll always have somebody who's interested. He'll always have, I forgot your name. He'll always have a brother.
Amen. Adam.
Adam. He'll always have a brother Adam up here on the front row, brother. You stay with God, you'll always be here. Yeah. Don't you backslide that back row back there with all those dead people. Oh, what? Yep. Oh, there's nobody. Yeah, there's nobody back there. Thank the Lord. I know it's not the proximity of the building. I'm not saying that. I want to talk about you need to be close to Jesus. There'll always be someone interested, no matter where they're seated. There'll always be one to hear this word of God. Amen. Amen. I'll be astonished at his teaching. And it said when they saw him, what? They were amazed. Hallelujah. If that ain't revival, I don't know it. They saw him. They were amazed. Why? Because they saw him in a capacity that they had never saw him before. When you follow Jesus, he is not going to stay a baby in a manger. He isn't always going to be a child that wise men come and bring gifts to his feet. No, he's going to continue to grow. And let me tell you something, as he grows, he's going to begin to teach. And then he's going to begin to heal. And then he's going to begin to work miracles. And then he's going to begin to reveal himself in ways that you've never seen him before. He won't always be a baby in a manger. Before long, he'll be a grown man breaking bread and feeding. feeding 5,000 people. Before long, he'll be causing the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. If we follow him, he'll be and transfigure on the Mount of Transfiguration. I want to tell you something. If you follow him, he'll be a resurrected Savior. If you follow him, he'll be a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something. Jesus gets better and better. I don't have to live in what I've lost in the past. I can move with him, and if I follow him, I'll never cease to be wowed. You won't have to beg us to worship. You won't have to beg us to pray. You won't have to beg us why. Because we'll be continually amazed in the progression of God as we develop and mature, as we go deeper into the Father's will. We're going to see him in ways that we've never seen him before. Jesus began to show them, if Passover isn't about the Paschal Lamb, I am the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See me and know that it's I that come to be that Lamb.
Amen.
It's not the Paschal Lamb, it's the Lamb of God. And he has to transition. He has to come to your personal Jerusalem. And he has to change that thing from a ritual and a form and a tradition to a place of new life and experience, all by his grace. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Thank God that you've come to do it this morning. Thank God that you've come to do it today. Hallelujah. 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 He's come to change your Jerusalem. He's come to bring new life. And he's come to bring new experience. He wants you deeper in the Father's will. He said to his parents, they said, Jesus, we've sought you sorrowing. And he said, how is it that you sought me? You know what he's saying? He's saying, why did you have to seek me? Why? You move, not me. I told you I was about my Father's business. He said, did you not know that I must be about the Father's business? It's you lost sight, not me. I'm about the Father's business. And if you keep your eyes on me, you'll come with me into that. He said, why did you have to seek me? You're the one that lost your sight. And although they didn't understand the saying, Jesus was moving them deeper into the Father's plan. I want to tell you something. You might not understand the dealings of God in your life, but I want to tell you this. His ways are perfect, and his dealings are perfect, and he will bring you into a greater place of seeing him. No matter what's going on in your life, Jesus will bring you to a place where you will be amazed again. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Stand with me and just worship him right now. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him, church. Come on, open your mouth. Just thank him right now. Hallelujah. Yield yourself to the Lord. Praise his name right now. Worship him. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're worthy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're here, Jesus, this day. You're with us right now. You're with us in this house, Lord. I believe that Jesus is walking this place this morning. I believe he's rearranging some circumstances. I believe he's opened our eyes if we've heard what the Spirit is saying. He's revealed to us that some of us are not where we once were. We didn't move with him when he moved. But I'll tell you what, if you want a move of God, that means that he moves. Church, you got to move with him. Would you be honest with God as Jesus' parents were? You may seek among the acquaintance, the kinsfolk. You may not even realize that he's no longer what he used to be in your life. But I want to tell you, I'm believing God the Holy Ghost to open up our hearts and lives, as I believe he has throughout this message, to reveal to us that it's time that we recognize that we need to come back to seeking him. He's drawing us to himself. He wants to change into a place of new experience. He wants you to be amazed again. I want to open this altar up this morning. I want to ask you to come. Would you respond to what God, any word that he's spoken to you this morning, would you respond to him? Would you seek him if you recognize that it's not there? Would you turn about seeking Him. If you just are in a custom, in a familiarity, would you just be honest with the Lord about that? Listen, folks, He's moving into the Father's business. Come on. I said He's moving to the Father's business. If you want to move into the Father's will, then you need to get right in line with Jesus. You need to see Him again. Oh, God, do it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help me pray, church. Come on. 100% participation this morning. Pray with me that God would open somebody's eye, that they would come to Him, that they would recognize the deadness, the coldness, the lack of desire, and that they would come to the Lord seeking Him. Hallelujah. Do it, Jesus. God, that's what we're here for. That's what revival's for. It's to restore. It's to renew. It's to rekindle a flame. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Will you young people come? Would you come and just pray for some of these? Just put your hands on.